brothers and sisters. All right. Amen. It sounds like everybody had a devotional life this week. I hear the talking, I hear the talks, and praise God. And our prayer, myself and Pastor Stephen, we've been really praying for you that you grow in your experience with God. Amen. Before we begin, I want to let you know also that myself and Pastor Stephen, we care about you. And since we're in Michigan, I want to ask you another question. Have you been taking your vitamin D? Yes? Okay. All right. Some have, some haven't. Okay. You may need your vitamin D about this time of the year, especially if you're a Jamaican like myself. God has been good to us. Amen? This past, was just yesterday, actually, I was driving, and I pulled off, I think it was 127, just nearby here, and I was making a right turn, and I was lost in thought as I was just contemplating and thinking about a lot of things and praying and talking to the Lord. I was lost in my thought. The light was red, and I was there waiting to make my turn. When about a minute or so or less than that, I heard tires screeching behind me. Someone was trying to stop. It's been really icy. And so I was just there sitting, and I'm just lost. I heard the tires screeching, and I'm thinking, okay, what is that? But, you know, you just ignored it because I was so busy thinking about other things. I was there still talking to the Lord, and the tires, of course, went from screeching to just a big thump. And I looked outside my passenger window, and I saw a Jeep on the curb, literally spinning and swerving and trying to gain control. Someone couldn't stop and somehow avoided my car. They were safe, by the way. Nothing happened, and we both went away without a scratch. Praise God for that. It looked so weird, though, because when I made my right turn, I looked across, and I saw a big pipe sticking out of the ground. And the tire tracks of that Jeep was literally, the pipe was in between those. But nothing happened. Nothing serious happened. Praise God for that. And immediately the text came to my mind, the angels of the Lord encampeth about those who fear God. God is good. And at this time of the year, we want to pray for safety. And we want to pray that the Lord continues to keep all of us in His care. With that said, I want to pray and begin as we talk about the voice of God this morning. Father, we ask for your presence to be with us. Lord, I'm just a feeble, sinful vessel. Myself and others who have this opportunity to speak on your behalf, Lord, we know that in our hearts we are sinners who are being used by a holy God to speak His holy words. And so today, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your presence to be seen and your voice heard this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John Wesley was preaching to a large crowd gathered in a rough section of London when two young ruffians, disturbed that a preacher should come into their area and condemn some of their pleasures, quote-unquote pleasures, they decided to do something about it, and so they wanted to silence the preacher. Both picked up good-sized stones and elbowed their way through the crowd until they were in throwing distance. They saw John Wesley on the pulpit, and as they raised their stones to throw at the little preacher, they were halted by the force of his message. Something supernatural was happening as John preached of the love of God for sinners. Their arms were stayed. They remained all day to listen to John Wesley's message, and the message brought conviction to their hearts. When the message was over, John Wesley walked off the pulpit, looked both of them in the eyes, and said, "God bless you, boys," and walked away. That day, two young ruffians were converted to the truth. Each day, I am reminded that it is not the preacher who makes the word of God powerful. It is the power of the word that makes the man a preacher. In other words, if you were to take the Bible to heart and study it for yourselves, you wouldn't need us. We would be out of our job. Our text today reminds us of this idea. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, page 1357, for this reason, Paul begins to say, we also give thanks to God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Is the word of God effective today? It is. Paul had preached to the believers in Thessalonica. They received it in a praiseworthy manner. They received the word not as it were given through some famous preacher, but simply because God had spoken. The ability to speak can be used for or against us. There are those who can move a crowd with their magnificent oratory. With their voice, they persuade men to do thoughtless things. Those are the ones who do bad things. I was reading a recent article about Adolf Hitler, who composed about 5,000 persuasive speeches. With these speeches, Adolf Hitler was able to poison the minds of those who were listening to him. And Germany, a nation who was God-fearing at first, became one that was reprehensible. But then there are those who preach and speak hope into the life of others. Those who inspire courage under adversity and change in the hearts of others. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech is still recorded 50 years later, still spoken of, and it still inspires many. It is said that the voice of Martin Luther King Jr. can still be heard. His speech about a dream captivated an entire audience, and his speech gave courage to the wounded hearts of the oppressed. Lastly, there are voices that would drive fear into our hearts. There are a whole lot of men who are on the street who behave themselves like gangsters, but when they go home, mama is there waiting with a strap to let them know who's boss. When I was growing up, my father had this amazing power, this ability to communicate with his eyes. When I did something wrong that would merit his looks, my heart would skip a beat as he looked at me. When Dad said, Jermaine, that was it for me. Fight or flight kicked in, and I knew I wasn't going to fight, so I flew. For more reasons than one, when we see blue lights flashing behind us, and the police officer comes to the window of our car and says, license and registration, please, many a man stumble to find his paperwork. Voices scare us. Paul was thankful for one thing. Not that those in Thessalonica heard his voice, but simply because they heard the voice of God. The apostle was not thankful that the believers came to hear his wisdom. It was the fact that the believers were listening to the voice of God. Paul was not thankful that the Thessalonians were coming to church. Paul was thankful that the believers had an experience with God. They did not have just head knowledge. He was thankful that they received the words as if God himself was speaking. Christianity is not a once-a-week fix. It is a lifetime of heeding the counsels of God. The servant of the Lord says that the Bible is God's voice speaking to us just as surely as though we could hear him with our ears. If we realize the importance of this word, she goes on, with what awe we would open it, and with what earnestness we would search its precepts. Voices are powerful. We obey them all the time. We listen to others who encourage us. We listen to others who discourage us. We listen to others who have opinions, whether for good or bad. Husbands go out, they have these amazing ideas, and they show up at work, working hard and saying a lot of things, whether they're the boss or not. But they go home and their wife says, did you take out the trash? And they're humbled. I'm not married, what do I know about this? Yet, there's one voice that often falls into silence, a voice often ignored. A voice that we could care less about. God's voice. I now ask people who come to figure my opinion on things, what does God say? Listen, we need to stop and think. Does God have a voice? Does he stand a chance to counsel us? Say yes. Come on, say yes. Is it that God has no ability to speak to us? Come on, say no. Say no. Speaking of God's voice, David says in the book of Psalms, turn with me to page 636, Psalms 33 and verse 6. Psalms 33 and verse 6. Page 636. David gives us an idea of how powerful the voice of God is. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalms 33, verse 6 gives us the idea that God did not need anything else but his word to create the world. David goes on in verse 9, Psalms 33, verse 9. The Bible says he spoke, and it was what? Done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The voice of God is so powerful that it does not depend on anything for it to work. Amen? Moses wrote in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? Moses continues, the earth was without form, Genesis chapter 1. That's where we are. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Thomas Edison took a long while to come up with light. But God just said, and there was light. Let there be light. And there was light. Moses goes on by repeating this idea at least 10 times in the book of Genesis. The reason why the emphasis is placed on the fact that God said or God spoke is in Genesis chapter 1 is because if you can't believe that God spoke in the beginning of the Bible, you will not believe that he spoke elsewhere. If you do not believe that God spoke the world into existence, you will not believe that God can speak forgiveness into your life. If God's word has no power to create the world, God cannot recreate you. Does God's word have power in your life? The word of God has not lost its power. It is still effective, as Paul says. The word of God still effectively works in those who believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. The word of God has not lost its power. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul, talking about the word of God and its power, likens the word of God to a sword. The sword. The word of God is sharp, it's quick, and has the ability to move away the sinfulness of our hearts. It has the ability to transform a man. The word of God can make the illiterate literate. The word of God can make the sinful, the drunkard sober. The word of God can make anyone who approaches it a new person in Christ Jesus. Paul says, for the word of God is living. It is alive. It is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes I open the scriptures, and I turn to the text, and I begin reading, and I'm like, Lord, how did you know that's what I wanted to hear? And then other times I open the word of God, and I read the text, and I'm thinking, Lord, how did you know that's not what I wanted to hear? God speaks to us. He interacts with us by and through his word. Can someone say amen? Amen. Then why do we have powerless churches? It is primarily because we have powerless Christians who would do everything else except make God a priority in their lives. Our power does not come from the television. Our power, brothers and sisters, does not come from our jobs. Our power does not come from a spineless version of faithfulness. It is lack of familiarity with the voice of God that robs us of power. There are too many Christians who have no clue what God says in his word. They cast it aside, as it were, to be just another book on the shelf. Someone once told a story of a young boy who found his mother's Bible locked up in the dark closet, gathering dust. "Mama, whose book is this?" he said. She replied, "That's God's book." She told him, he responded, well, Mama," the little boy said, "don't you think we should better give it back? No one uses it around here." A little child shall lead them, the Bible says. If ever our Christianity was malnourished, it is because we're not getting nutrient from God's word. If ever our ideologies are off and our lives misrepresenting God, it is because we have no idea what God says. We live in a day and age where the Christian experience is based on minimal interactions with God. We need to change that. As a result of this criminal neglect, the voice of God becomes silent as it is pushed aside and ignored in our nation. The voice of God is silent in our workplace and schools as it is ridiculed. The word of God or the voice of God is silent in our churches as preachers try to be cool. Silent in our homes as the Bible gathers dust on the shelves. And silent in our hearts as we fail to respond and obey what the Bible says. There is no safer place than to heed the voice of God as he speaks to you and me. I did not always enjoy reading the Bible. I remember the first time I opened the scriptures and turned to the book of Leviticus. And the book of Leviticus had discouragement written all over it. All these laws and all these different things just seemed like they didn't make sense. I was reading in the book of Genesis, and by the time I got to genealogies, all my New Year's resolutions failed. And there are many New Year's resolutions that park their cars in Genesis chapter 3 and 4. We do not move along in our study of the Word of God. Have you made a New Year's resolution? Is your New Year's resolution paused in the Bible, in the book of Numbers? Is your New Year's resolution paused in the book of John? Have you been reading your Bible? Have you been listening to the voice of God? God is still speaking today. I want to tell you that it makes no sense to ignore the voice of God as he speaks to you. I learned this because some time ago I was traveling with my sister. We were driving in Philadelphia. I just got my driver's license. And you know how excited we can get sometimes. You compound that with the fact that men, we like to boast about directions. I was there learning. I was driving. I had my license now and I was taking my sister around. And I was boasting. I was trying to impress my sister. "Hey, listen, I got this. It's all right. We got it. Repeatedly, she asked me, "Do you know where we're going?" I just started driving. And you see, I wanted to show off my skills. So I would tell her, yeah, I know where we're going. I turned the GPS off. Okay, listen to me. Bad idea. Okay? Bad idea. I turned the GPS off. And we were driving. I felt like I knew Philadelphia. I knew that this one-way street would go that way, and I knew if I turned right on this street, I would end up on that one-way. And before I knew it, we were in a bad part of town. I made a lot of wrong turns. And embarrassingly, I turned to my sister, and she looked me right dead in the eyes. Before I could say the words, she said, "We're lost." And I was humble, So I turned back my best friend, Tom, on, and we were on our way home. If there's anything else that would make us pastors happy, especially in this month of spiritual growth, it is for you to no longer ignore the divine GPS, but to brush the dust off and start reading your Bibles. Spend time in the Word of God. If you want to grow, do not put it aside. God would not have given it to us if it was not important. Now, lately, as I said before, I did not enjoy studying the Bible, but now I find myself waking up at midnight, and I can't wait to open the pages. I have this habit now of marking and making notes, writing things and highlighting stuff in my Bible. And the other day, I was talking to my fiance. We were just studying the Bible together, and we're enjoying the time, and she's like, "Listen, I now realize how much you love to read the Bible." Nothing, I don't gain any credit from that. I'm just telling you that you study the Word of God, it will become a part of your life. God's voice will become your best friend. And before you call up Sister So-and-so, you call up God, who is already there and available. Trust me, you will not get a message saying, "This person is not available. Please leave a voice message after the beep." God's word is available to be studied. Paul, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 now. God wants people like you and me to be familiar with his words. He wants you to hear his voice as he speaks to you. Do you want to hear God's voice? God's voice should no longer be silent in our churches. God's voice should no longer be silent in our homes. Before we consult anyone else, we should consult God, who is patiently waiting. There's no one who could speak comfort to the weary soul as God himself. To those who are lacking comfort, God says in his word, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations." All comfort belongs to God. For those who do not understand love and what it really means, God says, "For he so loves the world that he gave something, someone, his only son." God's intent is for you to be familiar with the sound of his voice. They say that babies, by the way, can hear the sound of the mother's voice within the first 6 weeks of pregnancy. I was just reading that the other day. And you may say, "Well, what do I know about that? Pastor Stephen probably knows a lot more than I do and others." Well, that's what I read. And the first thing that makes a baby accepted into the world is the sound of the mother's voice. If you take away the sound of the mother or father's voice from a baby, that baby will not grow up emotionally stable. As Christians, we have been babies too. We were not born, we were born again. And we grow up in Christ. And if you want to grow, if you take away God's voice, you will not grow up properly. You will not grow as a stable Christian. Can someone say amen? We need to grow in Christ. Peter says in 2 Peter that we should desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow up thereby. God's word is what we need to have as a part of our life. We need to listen to God's voice as he speaks. And oftentimes, God speaks through the subtle tones of the scripture. As you're walking down the street and you're tempted to shout at someone, God says, "Give no place to anger." As you're tempted to doubt, God says, "Believe." As you're tempted to give up, God tells you to hold on to the unchanging hand. God's word speaks life into our hearts. God is still speaking today. Amen? God's word is still effective today. in your life and mine. These are not men's theories that we find in the Bible, not men's ideas. It is God Himself speaking. For this reason, Paul says, we also give thanks to God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. If you had a one-on-one rendezvous with God, what would you say to him? If you had a one-on-one interview with God, what would he say to you? That's what that devotional time means. It means that God wants you to come aside and listen to his voice. And I imagine God is pleading and waiting and longing to talk to us. Can you imagine a husband and a wife who live in their home together, and the wife who wakes up in the morning and says nothing to the husband, but goes off to work, and he's there trying to figure out what happened, what did he do, or what did he not do, or vice versa. God wants to speak to us, and may I say, even more than a husband or a wife. We have friends sometimes that stop talking to us too. And our first thought is, what have I done to them? Can you imagine Jesus to be our friend too? He wants to talk to you and to me. God wants his word to effectively work in your life. And there are many of you who have been trying to live this Christian experience or this Christian life without the power of God's word. You've been going on your own power. You've been trying to do it right, yet at the same time, you haven't been able to. You've been listening to a lot of voices and a lot of speeches, but not God's voice. And some of you haven't heard his voice in a while. You have heard him today, and you would like to make a commitment, so I want to take this time to make an appeal to you. God wants to talk to you. Will you talk to him? Will you spend time with him? If there's someone today that's in this audience, you know you haven't heard the word of God in a while. You know you haven't been a disciplined Christian. You haven't been studying the word of God. You haven't read your Bible in a long time. And you want to say, Lord, now is the time where I want to change that. This is not a New Year's resolution. This is a commitment to God that you're making to go back to your word, to study the word of God as it is given to you. It's a privilege. You want to make that decision, why not stand to your feet? Lord, today I want to stand up by you, beside you. I want to from now on, walk and live according to your word. There is someone else here, and you say, maybe I have been doing my devotions. I have heard God's voice, but nevertheless, I have not obeyed his will. There's a difference with just hearing God's voice, but there's also something else that we ought to do. It is not just hearing, it is obeying God's voice. And you want to obey God's voice today, why don't you stand to your feet? God, no longer do I want to walk the wayward path. I want to stand with you. I want to obey your will, your words. No longer will I listen to the voice of others who ridicule my faith, the voice of others who make Christianity a boring thing, but your voice. You want to make a difference. You want to make a commitment. You want to submit this faithless type of Christianity, this Laodicean condition, to God. You want to change that. There's also someone here who has been called by God. You've heard his voice. He's been calling you to give your life to him through baptism. you know he's calling you. And you want to make that commitment to give your heart to Jesus fully, completely, without any doubts. From now on, you want to start the Christian path, not on the fence, but fully committed to God. If there's someone here, why don't you just raise your hand and show the Lord that this time around, I'm serious about it. Someone, make the call once more. God is calling you to give your life to Him through baptism. God is calling you. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us to stand for God. I wish I could stand from this platform and tell you that this world is getting better, but I know better. But I can tell you that there is someone, despite the unfaithfulness around us and despite the unfaithfulness within us, there's someone that stays faithful and true. And that is God. I would rather cling to God than anything else. I'd rather hold on to His unchanging hand. And with that said, let us bow our heads for prayer. Father, You've seen Your children. We come before You, Lord, knowing that we need You more than ever. But knowing that even though we need You more than ever, You've always been available more than ever. And because You're available, Lord, to speak to us even now as You have spoken to us before in our lives, in our past, we know that, Lord, sometimes we walk away from You. We do not study our Bible. We get up in the mornings and we start our day as if it were we were not Christians. We want to make a commitment today, Lord, to follow You wherever You lead. We want to make a commitment to give our hearts to You and our lives. We do not want to make this experience with You just the status quo. We want to go further, beyond. We want to grow higher, much more higher in our experience with You. Lord, move us. Lord, speak to us, we pray. As David says, Lord, shed Your light into our hearts. The entrance of Thy word gives light. And so as You've spoke the world into existence, Lord, we pray that You may speak to us today and help us to be new. We thank You so much for listening. We thank You so much for answering, because we have this confidence that Jesus has forgiven our sins and has cleansed us and given us this privilege to pray to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.